Welcome to Glee Chat. This is episode 102. I am not John Thrasher, if you can't tell by now. He couldn't make it to the episode, so I'm here with Natalie and Caitlin. Hey, everyone.
Hi.
Hello.
And we will be recapping the latest episode of Glee, Child Star, episode 9. Yeah, very 3.0 centric episode, which wasn't unwelcome, I thought. And based on Twitter and Facebook and stuff, you guys seem to enjoy the change of pace in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it was good. So right off the bat, the episode begins with gym class, and Sue is back screaming at all the students, telling him to get fit and everything. And Spencer seems to be very interested in Alistair, who is a new character. But this new character is a 40-year-old man with a ponytail.
Look.
I'm pretty sure Adam Crawford and Stoner Brett had a teenage child.
Oh, my God, that's perfect.
Oh, my God.
Because I kept seeing people say Stoner Brett, and then I saw him, and I was like, no, he's, like, clean. He's, like, an indie kid. He's done this as, like, a choice. It is. It's Adam versus Stoner Brett. That's what this guy is. Yeah. I wouldn't pick him, but I love seeing Spencer smitten. I thought that was super cute, like with his creepy, intense push-up staring. Like,
yeah.
I loved it. I'm not gonna lie, despite Alistair maybe not being my man of the week. But
you wouldn't think that would be Spencer's taste either, but I guess
it.
We're just
I think
that's why
really
it's
cute.
Like,
oh, I think that's why it's
yeah.
really
yeah.
cute.
I like
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
So I was into that straight away. Like his like coy little like ness. It was great. Yeah.
Yeah, well, as we find out, Alistair is lab partners with Roderick, and this starts a little bit of a friendship with Spencer and Roderick, even though the friendship was not, I don't know. I mean, we can talk about this a bit more when it gets more into the thick of things, but at this point, Roderick really did not seem to like Spencer. I don't know what was going on there, but I think Roderick was just all upset because in the gym class, he got pretty badly shamed for not being able to climb the classic rope that goes up to the ceiling, which, looking at, that's a hard thing to do. I mean, I haven't done it before, but...
Yeah, can
like,
you pause
I don't
for
think
one
that's
second?
An easy thing.
Caitlin, explain me this yes. presidential bullshit.
Yeah, because this,
we
don't
this
do never
this.
Happened in high
we
school
don't
for me.
Do this,
yeah.
So I don't know what this is.
I mean, there's the presidential fitness test, like, we always did it, but it was never for a grade or anything. It was just, like, a participation thing where you do, like, various things like push-ups and pull-ups and how far you can stretch, like, flexibility and strength. Just so if you ranked in certain percentiles, you would get, like, the presidential award. You would get something below that, and if you didn't get that, you'd get, like, participation award for it. So it was just, like, it's just, like, fitness testing.
Okay. Mm. I mean, we have the beep test. Do you do the beep test?
We have that, yes. We have the beep test, too.
I've only done it once. It was the worst thing that's happened to me in my entire life. So, yeah.
But I haven't had to climb a rope since I was in elementary school, and I'm pretty sure no more than, like, two people in our class could ever do it. So,
well, who's got standards,
I fear Roderick.
Apparently. So, yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah. Well, Sue in this episode wants to get the Principal of the Year award, which, yeah, okay. And she needs a letter of recommendation from the superintendent, who we saw in season 5, and he's the one, and I thought this was it, he's the one who thought Sue was a man. Yeah. And in order to kiss his ass, basically, she is abiding to every single need of the superintendent's nephew, who is the new character, Myron. So right off the bat, Myron is a very, very selfish child and pretty much a child Kurt Hummel on crack. And he...
Oh, my God!
And now we know why Kurt wasn't in this episode.
That's
they
perfect.
Literally couldn't have put the two of them in the one space.
Oh, my God, that's amazing.
He wants the new directions to give him pointers on his performance that he's going to be having at his bar mitzvah. And then he goes into a very eccentric, to say the least, performance of Lose My Breath. So what do you guys think of Myron right away? I don't know.
Oh, he's so obnoxious.
Yeah.
I think I tweeted when this number was going, like, I don't know what's going on my TV right now. And that's still how I feel. I don't know what was going on.
I don't know if I hate him or I love him. Like, I really don't, because he's terrible. He's so, so bad. And it's, like, so painful. That, like, because what gets to me about him is that neither part of him is insincere. Like, his fangirling of Rachel and his genuine, like, I'd like some notes and stuff like that. Like, he genuinely has this weird respect for the New Directions, which he 100%, I don't think that's sucking up. I think he, like, genuinely feels that. But then, like, to other people, like his dancers and Sue and all of that kind of stuff, he really is that, like, crazy screaming diva. And I don't know, I just can't handle it all. It's a bit much.
I think I would have liked him better if we didn't have to keep him.
Do we actually, is that, like, actually gonna be a thing? We have to, he's in.
Well, he's in the, hurt, in the, like, picture of all the group, yeah, the New Directions come back, oh, he's wow. there.
So he's, like, in the group now forever. Well, for the next.
Oh, I suppose so.
For the next, like, 4 episodes. God. 3
oh, yeah.
Episodes. Okay.
Well, I mean, technically, I guess only the next two, if the last two episodes are going to be flashback,
like,
and flash forward.
That's the thing, that we're not going to have any story with these people, so.
Yeah. But at least he is a very interesting character. Like, when we first got introduced to Marley, like, I didn't mind Marley at the start, but she's a little bland compared to Myron, you know. This is, yeah.
It's interesting that he's going to be, like, this diva in a group of, like, well, not adults, but, like, you know, kids 3, 4, 5 years older than him, who are all going to be, like, no to him. So maybe it'll be a good thing for him, if you know what I mean. Like, maybe he'll grow up a little bit.
Yeah.
He's just going to keep paying Kitty.
I can't even talk about how much I love Kitty. She's the best character on the fucking show. I can't deal with how much I love her. Anyway, carry on. Sorry. There was a lot in this episode.
Well, with this bar mitzvah, Sue forces the New Directions to perform at it. So, yeah, that happens. All right, so Jane and Mason are very, very cute this episode. Mm-hmm. They have a nice moment in the hallway and plan to have a date at Breadsticks. However, Madison comes up and intervenes and steals Mason away mm-hmm. from Jane. So, as we can already see, Madison is very domineering over Mason. We find out why later. Yeah, I love Mason and Jane so much,
guys.
I thought
that this was a good build-up of that, like, very cute chemistry in Head Over Feet, which I still think is a really good performance.
Oh, it's so, that mashup
I
is,
wasn't necessarily expecting Mason to be straight, but after that performance, I really dug it, even though I don't disagree with Madison's interpretation of Jane, I'm not gonna lie. Like, I'm not super team Madison, but I get her, I think. But yeah, I thought it was nice. The thing about all of this that seems really sudden to me is that we don't know what's been going on, like, with these kids. They sit there every week, and the story is about Kurt, and the story is about Rachel, and they don't even get lines in the episode. So they could have this whole rich inner life going on that we don't know about, and it's like they should have given them, like, a, you know, 15 minutes of each episode to have a little bit of development or something like that. I don't know.
No, I see.
Yes,
I like it.
Felt so jarring because of it, because they have not even, like, said anything since the second episode of the season. So I enjoyed them so much in this episode. Like, why have we not been getting them bit by bit?
Yeah, but see, I love it that they did it this way, because I want to spend the last season with all the characters I already know and love and want to find out what happens with them in their story. But on the other hand, I do really like the new kids, but I like just knowing that the New Directions is now going to be in good hands with characters we like, and it's going to have a good future, you know what I mean? So I like that we get, like, already 8 episodes and then 1 episode full with them, and that's all we'll get, and that's fine. I love that.
I don't want to just imagine them. I want to see them, because they're good, and they're, like, better than a lot of characters that we've wasted a lot of time on. Like,
what's the point of introducing them if, like, we're not going to actually get to know them?
Like, if they're going to introduce them, they need to use them more. Otherwise, they could have just introduced them in the last episode when Rachel finally got the Glee Club back together or whatever, you know, like, or whoever is going
to. But I never expect them to full focus, why I think I'm not as disappointed.
Neither did
you know?
I, but I also didn't expect them to be this good. Like, I didn't expect them to be the full focus, but I also expected to not really care about them, and they're really good. So I'm kind of annoyed, but oh well.
Yeah. Well, in the next scene, Mason approaches Spencer and Roderick in the locker room and asks for one of them to distract Madison by taking her out on a date, and it's funny. Sorry, it's distract Madison so Mason can take Jane out on a date, and it's funny because Spencer goes, well, obviously I'm out of this for obvious reasons, and I thought, does Mason really know? Because he's, like, looking at Spencer expecting him to, like, take Madison out on a date. I'm like, ah,
these kids... I don't know how well they know each other, honestly. We, like, again, we don't know what's happened behind the scenes with them.
Yeah.
They seem pretty
comfortable
together.
Yeah, they seem... just laughing. He's like, aren't you and your sister dating? He's like, very funny. No, but really, aren't you?
I really like Spencer. I know some people don't. I really do.
I'm on the fence too. I don't know.
I can't get over how cute he is when he's all, like, smitten. And I don't know. He's a little bit, like, there's a little bit of Puck about him, a little bit. And I don't...
He even looks a bit like Mark Salling.
But,
I will fight you on that.
but, no, there's just something about him, and I just, like, he's not, I don't know, I like him. He was a bit weird this episode. I put him as our quote of the week this week for Glee, and I tweeted it to Marshall, and he was all like, oh my god, thanks, and retweeted it. So, I don't know if that's, yeah, one of the first Ooh. Times that our Glee quote has been acknowledged by Glee cast, but there you go. I don't know, I love him.
What? I think Mason is better, to be honest. Like, better looking. But and then I think in this scene, Billy Lewis Jr., that's his name? Yeah. He his acting really started to shine. Because even when he bounced back from when Spencer asked if they were dating, and then right away, I felt like he got this backstory just from that one expression of just being tired of being asked that question sort of thing. And I know it's a funny joke, but like I just felt like one second... spoke a lot, but he says that his parents, that he and Madison's parents were more concerned with performing than taking care of them, and that's why Madison has such a strong motherly instinct over him. So already we're already sort of getting some reasoning as to why Madison sort of behaves the way she does.
Yeah, I really liked that as well, and when the twins were introduced, I thought they were adorable, and I thought their voices were really good, but they kind of, when they did that, like, kind of speaking in unison thing, and it was all, like, you know, and him being like, you know, Jack, I'm doing the weird hand movement, you know, the hand movement that I'm doing, in the first episode when he's all, like, raise the roof, But, yeah, I thought that's kind of all they were going to be, that they were really going to be a joke. But the second that they give them something even more than that, they're so good. Like, I had, like, a meltdown talking to Jack about Mason while I was watching the episode last night. Because, yeah, that actor, Billy Lewis Jr., is so talented singing-wise. He's so good-looking. And his acting is genuinely good. Like, he's not just playing a parody. And it's really upsetting to me. But, yeah, I loved that scene of the boys as well. I don't know.
And it's just refreshing to have, like, we've never heard this story done before on Glee, you know? We've had the two unlikely people become friends sort of thing that happens all the time. But with just this twins plotline, we haven't had this before, so it's so nice to see it.
I'm surprised there's been no, like, sibling stuff. I mean, there's been, like, Puck and Jake. But I'm surprised there's been no, like, oh, my sister's a freshman and I'm a senior and we're both at the school together at the same time. I'm surprised that hasn't happened at all. Like, is everyone on Glee an only child? Like, I don't understand. But like, there's been, you know, sibling stuff, but not like this, and I like it as well. I like all of them. Like, I think Roderick, as I was saying to you last night, Jack, is really, his acting style is so it's so naturalistic that it is almost out of place on Glee. I really like it. I love watching him, but he's like delivery and everything about his performance. It's like he's a real person that's been plucked out of the world and put into Glee, if you know what I mean. Like, his delivery isn't that kind of, like, overdone way that a lot, like, or, like, kind of waiting for a punchline way that a lot of the originals had. He's got a totally different tone, like, for a totally different style, and I love him. But, yeah. Caitlin, which of the three boys are you the most liking at the moment?
I'm kind of in love with Mason right now. I saw him described as a straight version of Blaine, and then I was like, oh my god, that's why I love him.
Yeah, I can see that.
No, Blaine this episode.
Yeah, they're off on their honeymoon, like wherever they are, like a weekend away in who cares, Bill?
Whereas Brianna spent some month.
Yeah.
I'm still not over that, how Sue gives Britannia the month and Kurt is so angry.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Okay. So Rachel tells the New Directions that they're performing for Myron and delegating responsibility of pairing up and song choices onto them. And I also made a little note in the doc here saying, F off, Will, because he's just loitering and pissing me off.
With Will and Rachel in the staff room where he's like, what are they like?
I couldn't deal with that scene because I just
built a... They've got lots of energy. They're quiet. And then he's like, because you're always talking. It's like, number one, why are you there? Number two, yeah, it's true. But number three, you're both awful and I need you to stop. Like, it's so much. But, yeah.
What's he doing? He's just loitering. And I'm so glad when Sue called him out at the end of the episode. I know she always does it, but I was like, yep, thank you. Anyway, so Madison immediately approaches Mason for the duet, assuming that they'll just be partners right away. But obviously, he really wants to sing with Jane, and it was so cute. He was looking at her longingly, and I want them to be happy. Okay, so back in the teacher's room, Sue says that she's practically being a servant to Myron, and we get crazy scenes of him just off his chops. I don't know what his deal is. He's, yeah, God. And she also tells Rachel, Sam, Will, and Beast that they have to dance for Myron because he wasted a lot of his money for pointless crap on the bar mitzvah. And the reason why he needs dances is because he violently fired the dances he had in his Lose My Breath.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we get a bit more of Myron here. I can't even deal with him.
It's just so... Oh, it's so awkward. I mean, I liked not having any of the... Like, I liked the Sam, you know, Sam and Rachel's presence without, like, all of the other originals around. Like, and it is kind of weird that they're being teachers. But seriously, why has no one kicked Will out of
school? Well, it's just how the school would regularly be.
I don't understand why he, like, is... Well, I mean, we know Rachel's that you could come and help, but, like, why? Why is he still there? Like, why? Like, maybe...
He needs a paying job. Like,
how is this okay? I don't understand why this is... a thing that's allowed to be fine, but
I'm surprised that Sue's even letting it happen. Like,
well,
because technically, yeah, Rachel and Kurt are really technically the proper Glee Club like teachers, like, so they can stay there. But Will's just there randomly helping. Like, he's not actually got a job.
Like a consultant or whatever. Like, maybe he comes in after school one day a week or something. Like, why is he freaking eating in the staff room with them? It's not okay.
No,
and I don't.
Yeah.
Because he has no adult friends.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what the... I just can't. I can't. The other teachers at that school must think he is so weird and terrible. Where's David Martinez? He better still be teaching at that school somewhere in the background.
Ricky Martin would improve anything.
Okay, that episode was so weird that he was in, but he was such a good teacher, and, like, canonically, that teacher should still be there at that school somewhere. So, come on. Come on, David Martinez. Save the day. Can't deal with these people anymore.
He and Matt Bomer are just hooking up randomly.
Okay. Is that a thing that's happening?
Yep.
I can get behind that. That works.
All right. So Mason and Jane have another cute moment in the hall, just discussing, you know, about singing together and whatnot. And we also see Maura Spencer trying to get Roderick into shape, climbing up that frickin' rope again. Yeah. So
oh my
now
God,
in the
that was so cute. He was like, "Do you know what they say about cheerleaders? What? Well, mostly good things. Like, you're so awkwardly adorable."
They're so awkward.
So
it's so.
He's so good. Oh. I'm so mad that we're being deprived of, like, maybe we should just be grateful that they're not gonna, like, take three seasons to, like, screw him up into someone that we end up hating or something. But, like.
I was literally thinking that, like, watching the episode, like, will they have their time to, like,
half
yeah.
a season, like, or, like, one, I don't know, I just, they're so cute, and I love him, he's great, and I don't know, just, they're all so good, and I can't deal with it, but, yeah.
And I like how he brings Jane down, because I didn't like Jane too much when she was, you know, crazily... trying to be a warbler, but she's just nice and quiet here, and it's nice.
Yeah, I don't feel like that we really know that much about Jane except from her introduction episode. Like, she was like a plot point in this, but we didn't really see her side of it at all. I really, when she was introduced, I don't know. Like, I know that you liked her, Caitlin. I was pissed off at her for not understanding the rules of an all boys school, but she hasn't had too much. really so far in the show, like from her perspective, and I don't know if she's gonna get that chance either. But I did.
I thought she'd be a bit more of like one of the mainly focused 3.0s, you know? Like even she hasn't really gotten as many songs either.
That's true.
Like in the Invitational, she didn't get one like solo.
Did she not in the Invitational? I thought they shared them out pretty equally, like parts of the songs, like.
No, because Mason and I mean in the full length version of All Out of Love, Jane is in it, but in the actual show, like it's Mason and Madison in that one, and then Roderick with Father Figure and Kitty and Spencer with the first one.
I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, so in the cafeteria in the next scene, Mason tells Madison they are switching duet partners so he can sing with Jane. And Madison has a huge meltdown, and it's freaking hilarious. Like she does not care about anyone.
I can't see the guy behind them in the line. Like, it was the best.
Guys are annoying.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
It's okay. So we're twins.
But, yeah, Madison's meltdown was, like, that was a different sort of crazy for this show.
She just doesn't care about anyone listening in.
Do you think she was doing it because she lost control and she didn't care, or do you think she was doing it to, like, purposely shame him?
No, I don't think she was trying to purposely shame him. I think that's just, yeah, she doesn't care.
Poor girl. I mean, I feel it's like, you know, coming off the back of just finishing our Avatar rewatch, I'm and the whole thing later on about, like, how, like, Madison was, like, the second mother to me, like, when they were talking in the locker room. I'm now thinking about Sokka and Katara, but Katara didn't seem to have too much of a say about all of the dead girls that Sokka dated, so... So, I don't know, like, is Jane going to be one of Sokka's dead girlfriends, or, like, I don't know, I've done two podcasts today, and they're bleeding into each other, but, yeah, I don't know, Madison's meltdown, she's a different kind of crazy, and it's interesting, because there's been so many histrionic teenagers on Glee, it's interesting that they've found a fresh take on it, so, good for them, I suppose. Yeah.
All right, so Spencer in the next scene is smitten by the 40-year-old ponytail and does his rendition of Friday I'm in Love by The Cure. Yeah, it's so cute. And I think this song is like I think Glee had in season 6 had a list of all classic like songs that everyone knows but they haven't done yet, and now they're just ticking them off. Like, you got this, and in the next scene, I want to break free. And
this was so cute.
Yeah, time after time,
Like,
pardon?
He hasn't got a good voice, has he? Like,
got,
and it wasn't
he's
he.
He's got to have something. Like, he has to have something because he got, like, on whatever, however far on Canadian Idol or whatever.
Well, Corey's voice is very different, and I think they struggled a bit to try and find the flow with him, and eventually they did find what really works well with his voice, which is good. And I just don't think they're gonna have enough. Well, they're not gonna have enough time to do that with Spencer. Yeah.
So this vocally, I wasn't necessarily like, oh, I'm in love with this, but like the. And I'm also not super in love with, like, I'm singing in the hallways. Like, I've never really loved that. But I really liked everything about Spencer's romantic plot for reasons that I'll talk about a little bit more in depth later on. But basically, I just liked how, like, normalized it was. And I also loved just all of his cute faces and his, like, singing with Kitty in the choir. I keep accidentally shipping Spencer and Kitty because they're so freaking cute when they interact.
Did you say Spencer and Myron's performance? Like, Spencer was so into it.
But, like, I don't know. It didn't sound fantastic, but I liked watching it because I found him really endearing for some reason, and I liked his jumper in the choir room, and I don't know. I found it cute. I acknowledge it didn't sound fantastic, but I enjoyed watching it. Yeah.
So now I think we should probably take a 5-minute break and prepare ourselves for this next scene. Because at the... Mason goes into an amazing performance of I Want to Break Free by Queen, and he sounds so amazing, and he's so hot, and he does the song so well, and it just all comes together at once, and
I am not gonna lie, I did text Jack during this. I was being like, oh my god, oh my god, he's so hot, I can't deal with this, he's so
Like,
hot.
I
And
know,
just
I
him
know.
talking, I'm like, he's so cute, I'm like, this guy, like Billy Lewis, it's like he's so such a good voice, he's acting really really well, and I'm like, and he's really hot when he's not done up like as Mason, like as a Cheerio. Like I've seen his live videos of his like live shows, you know, where he's like solo rock thing, and he's like really cool and like, you know, he's funny, edgy and like whatever, and I'm like, oh, you're actually really hot, you're like hotter than you look as that cheerleader guy. And then he came out and did this with the leather jacket, and I was just like, this is a bit much. I
No,
was like, I
just can't do it.
can't deal with this. And
well, I mean, I'm already sold on him, and just the fact that he's able to kill a Freddie Mercury number is
and
just
we
the
all know
icing on the
Jack has
cake.
problems with that, so yeah.
And that's
I
the
just
thing,
loved
yeah,
how
he's.
sweet he was during, like, when he was going through the audience, like, with the girls. He was just being so sweet and playful.
He
It's,
signed an
you were so
autograph or
cute.
something, didn't he? He signed an autograph or something to that old lady.
So lol. He's just, he's really nice. Like, he's got such a good vibe about him, and I can't believe how much I love him. He's so cute, but. Yeah. And
Yeah.
it was a good performance,
I
like
don't know.
good simple staging with the like fences, and it was all like, it was a bit like harsh on Madison's part, but like, you know, it was awesome.
It was just so much sass as well, like the context of the song, like I want to break free, you know. I love this too. That's how they would express their emotions this way, through angry
Yeah,
singing.
that's probably true.
Okay. So coming down from that, after the performance, Madison admits to Mason that she was terrified of Jane because it like him liking her meant that Mason doesn't need Madison in his life anymore. And he says that he always needs room for other people because just to make sure she isn't the only one that is in his life. But both say they're better people because of each other, and this was really cute. I like this so much.
As well, I would have liked a tad more creepy incest. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I feel like that the creepy incest was resolved like too easily. I feel like, I don't know.
I thought that the joke is
I
always going to
know,
be
I
there. I'm
know.
sure we'll hear
But
more of
like,
it.
it was really nice. And you know,
It's just refreshing because we haven't seen this before, you know, and it makes so much sense. Like he wants to have like more room for other people so she's not
does
the
she
only
not have
one.
any other friends?
Oh, I don't know. Well, I think her and Jane are getting along too well at the
Yeah,
moment.
Caitlin, what did you think of her assessment of Jane?
She has really good legs, so she's gonna pull
From you.
attention. Gotta say, she's not wrong.
Like she did seem jealous of Jane. But you know, and I get it. Like I get being like really possessive of like people that are close to you, even if they're like related to you, and you're like, no, I don't want you to be close to other people or whatever. I guess that's a thing that happens. But I don't know, I was
Yeah.
expecting something really weird because in the synopsis it was like, you know, he it was like
Yeah,
it
like
was
she
like she
reacts in a really.
confront Madison can you know, Mason confronts Madison about Jane with unexpected results, and I was just like, oh no, what's gonna happen? And this was not like I was promised
Yeah.
weirder shit than this, is what I'm saying. So I don't know.
I think the fact that it wasn't weird is what was unexpected.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. I really like them, and they're so good. Like, they're so talented, and I'm very overwhelmed by like how good all of the kids were in this episode, really. Yeah.
Even though I did like season four, and I did like a lot of season four newbies and what they brought to the show, I still can't stop thinking, what if we had these guys
These
back in
guys are
season
better.
four?
Like, no
You
offense
know?
to the newbies. Like the 2.0s.
They
I
are better
want the two.
characters.
I want
Oh
all
yeah,
of them
all of them together
together.
would be awesome. And like
Oh,
Kitty,
they would
like
have such
Kitty's
a good
great with them
dynamic.
already. Like, you know, and like Ryder, I would really like to see like Spencer and Ryder not getting along. But
I
I
think
don't
they'd
know.
get
I think
along.
they
I think they'd be
wouldn't
perfect.
at the start. Like I think that they'd be re I think they'd be some trouble there. But I don't know.
I think Jake and Spencer would have
Yeah,
issues with each
probably.
other.
Jake has issues with everyone. I really like them. I would have liked them all together. It would have made a lot more sense than, you know, burning down Dalton Academy and... Oops, am I meant to talk about that yet?
Okay, No, that's in the promo for next week, and I'm going to... I have a question. Because Sue is going off, as we find out in the end of this episode, and promo for next week, and then next week's episode is called The Rise and Fall of Sue Sylvester, and I know that they're doing, like, an expose on her and everything. So she's going off the rails. Does she actually burn Dalton to the ground?
Probably.
Because, I don't know.
Caitlin?
Like, that...
I mean, it would not surprise me if she did, but I don't think we know yet.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of hope she does, to be honest. Like, I mean, and then, because all I can see now, Caitlin, is what you've been saying, is that she's going to end up in jail at the end of the series.
If she burns down Dalton, she can end up in prison for arson, and it's perfect.
What would be her, like her motivations for that? Because she's really just, she's all hell-bent now on destroying the Glee Club more than ever. But what would burning down Dalton achieve?
I don't know. Like, earlier in the episode with the superintendent, he said something about, like, you know, her retiring, and she was like, don't believe everything Becky Jackson tweets. But then later in the episode, she was like, my last few weeks of work. Like, is she planning to leave? Like, when did that happen?
She said so at the beginning of the season.
What did she say? I can't remember this.
I mean... there was a little thing about rumors going around saying she was going to retire, and I think she sort of addressed it. It was only like a little thing.
I don't know. I was like, all right, that's weird, but I haven't really been thinking about it, but okay.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, so moving on, Myron is trapped in the stage pod, whatever that is, and he shits himself. And to get him down, Roderick goes up there on the friggin' rope again with heaps of confidence, succeeds, and gets Myron out of the stage pod, which is full of his shit.
Thanks for that imagery.
Well, this is what happens, and then we find out that Kitty had to lend her underwear to him because,
This is wonderful. Thanks, Glee, for all of this so much.
Love it. All right, on a better note, Spencer and Jane and Roderick go into a killer performance of the song, which is massive, like the biggest song right now is Uptown Funk. And the song is amazing. It's so good. And their version is really good as well. I mean, I personally would have maybe liked to see this song used in like another setting sort of thing, maybe similar to like the music video. Like, I don't know. And I would have liked to have seen this as more of a group number other than just like three people for the main part. But it was still good. And the full length version is really, really good
as
well.
I think this worked really
well. What did you guys think?
As it was, because it was like, it's so current, and it's just like, oh, kids.
Oh, yeah.
Doing a kid's party, like teenagers, what are they going to want to hear? The biggest frickin' pop song in the world right now, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and Ariana Grande. They're finally doing like sort of the newer songs. And it makes sense.
I was surprised by how good this sounded, because I was expecting it to be like, because this is like a funk song, and I was expecting it to be sort of a bit kids boppy and not so good on Glee, but it was actually really good and I really liked it and it was fun, and I am gonna go listen to the full version, though I'll probably listen to the original version as well. I was
confession, I had never heard this song before.
What, even though I because you don't listen to much like pop radio, do you, Caitlin?
I don't listen to the radio at all.
But still, this is pretty everywhere, though. Like, even off radio.
I listened to radio, like, BBC Radio 1, and that was one of the first stations that was, like, really pushing this song, because Mark Ronson...
Well, and Triple J. Yeah, Triple J, Mark Ronson, did a big feature on him, yeah.
Obviously big in the UK. But I used to go to aqua aerobics classes over the past summer. It's been summer here. And one of my aqua aerobics teachers... got really into this song and like choreographed this whole aqua aerobics routine to Town Funk, and it was one of the best things that's ever happened to me, because the first week that he did it, all of the old ladies were just like, they were just going along with it. They didn't know. There was a young guy in the class who was like this kind of slightly burly, tattooed, blonde hair in a ponytail, beard, pink swim shorts, hipster, and he was having it to Uptown Funk in aqua aerobics. He was singing and I was just like, I had this like really fixed smile on my face, like I'm gonna start laughing if I move my face in any way, so I'm just gonna keep doing the class and I can't deal with this. But the teacher was so into it, like it wasn't all of the aqua aerobics is to music, but this was like really really choreographed compared to other songs where they would just, like, you know, do it to the beat or whatever. Like, he has the bit in the, he had the bit in the middle where he's like, stop, wait a minute, and all, and like all of the dance moves were like appropriate to the video, and I was just like, I can't deal with this, this is so ridiculous. So yeah, Uptown Funk is, you know, apparently a universal equalizer. But what did you think of it, Caitlin, hearing it for the first time in Glee?
I thought it was whatever. It was a song that they did on Glee. I mean, I do everything in my life to podcasts, so I just, like, music is not, like, I don't listen to the radio to do anything. I listen to my podcast, so that's just, when Glee ends, I am so screwed for knowing what's popular music-wise, essentially. But, I mean, I thought it was just whatever. Like, it was another pop song that Glee has done, which made very minimal impression on me, essentially.
Oh, I'm actually sad.
It's a really good song. I'm not gonna lie. It reminds me so much of, like, Morris Day and the Time, which is like an 80s funk band that no one listening to this podcast knows. But anyway, it's very, very heavily influenced by that kind of music and, like, Prince and all that stuff. It's awesome. Anyway.
Well, Bruno Mars is really just a modern Prince.
Is that what Bruno Mars is? Is that what we're calling Bruno Mars? He's not as crazy.
So. I mean, stylings and his music and everything is very much like a modern Prince.
Yeah, I suppose. You know? I still think Prince is weirder, but okay.
Yeah, carry on. All right, so in the next scene, yeah, so back in the green room, Will is teaching the older guys, so you got Sue, Rachel, Sam, and Beast there, to dance, and Sue has another go at Will, pretty much calling him out for loitering around the school heaps and addressing everything, like I thought at least, in this episode. And I think this next part makes a lot of sense. She is very bitter and angry because Sue secured him a dream job, a fantastic job of Vocal Adrenaline, and then he effed it up. So I think this makes a lot of sense. Like, of course, like, even though I guess it is Will's fault, like, I'd be pissed as well if you work really hard to try and get your friend the you know, top job at the top show choir, and then, you know, a few weeks after he just says, I messed up, and he goes, you know, I'd be angry as well.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, Caitlin, did you think this was a, like, moment was, like, justified? Like, were you on Sue's side, Will's side, think they're both terrible and should go away, or what?
The last one. I think they're both terrible and need to go away. Like, I was like, yeah, you tell him, Sue, you Will. Tell him.
Yeah, they
tell
were
her, Will. I'm just like, I hate you both.
It was quite like that. What I was mentioning is, what was the explanation for them doing a number? It wasn't just that he got rid of the backup dancers. It was like, Sue was like, Beast, you have to be in this so I'm not the worst dancer or something like that. Like, what was going on there? Like, why was Beast even involved in this?
I don't know. I think just to have Beast there.
That's true. There was some comment earlier about, like, you have to do this with me so I'm not the worst one. And then, is that when they,
Well, it was really it. So that Sue doesn't seem like she's the worst dancer then, because Mason.
Is this when it's revealed that Sue, like, still has the crush on the guy that thought she was a man, and Will's all mean about it?
I think Will was just using that as ammo. I don't know if Sue actually still does have a crush on.
I don't know. I think he said she did, or he accused her of that at least, and it's just like, I don't know, why hasn't he started calling her Susie Q before now? Is it because she's not actually his boss? Like, I don't understand his, like, attitude towards her. Like, I mean, I've never.
Yeah, I guess she can't really do anything to him at this point. I mean, she could get him, like, arrested for trespassing, I suppose. But
there's so much you could.
But she can't get him fired because he doesn't have a job.
Like, I'm at the bottom of the heap. There's no lower I can fall, so I might as well poke Sylvester with a stick. Like,
turns out he could fall even lower when Sue jumps on him.
Oh, I wanted to beat him up.
I wanted to beat them both up. Oh, I can't. I loved calling her out, but she's also freaking crazy. So, like, I don't know, like, both of them are just, I can't anymore. I really liked the scene where the superintendent pokes his head in, and they're like, what are they, you know, what's happening here? And they're all like, rehearsing, and everyone's just like, yeah, thumbs up. It's so ridiculous.
Okay.
Oh, so weird. Yeah, I don't know, Will. What's to become of Will? Is he going to take over the New Directions again?
Yeah, I was going to ask you guys, how do you think we're going to Will is going to end up at the end of the season? Because, I don't know, like, even the, in the flash forward that we're getting of, like, maybe I think it's 5 years in the finale, like, where's he going to end up?
Head of New Directions again, I think.
Because I don't think they're going to want to, like, they'll be like, Kurt and Rachel, you're both bigger than this. You've both got bigger dreams, whereas Will can just stay in this town. Like, he's committed to this now, so I don't know. Like, Rachel definitely won't. Kurt, I don't even want to talk about him today.
It just annoys me, because every time Will has left the Glee Club for a reason and then come back, he's left there with kids who he has not grown with and does not know and makes no effort to know. Because the newbies, when Finn took over, and that was,
that was his a fantastic club dynamic with them.
Yeah, that was Finn's Glee Club, and then Will came back and... You know, we even see an episode where he just does not understand the kids and there is, like, a really poor dynamic with them. And then that's it. And then now it's going to happen again with these kids. You know, like, these kids don't know Will, but they know Rachel and Kurt, even though they're not that close, apparently. They still know them.
Will and Rachel have that whole conversation about, you know, like, you know, kids will come and go and, you know, some of them will make more of an impression than others. But Will is still, clinging to his, like, original group. Like, because they, like, change stuff for him. And whatever, that's, like, you know, you're allowed to have emotions. But your responsibility as a teacher is not to be, like, hanging on to, like, your first class and comparing everyone to them for the rest of time if you keep carrying on in that job. You have to give the same amount of commitment to each new phase.
Adapt, like, and grow,
So Finn was great with his kids who were his kids first and foremost. And then Rachel and Kurt are okay with these ones, but you know, but who is Will to, like, sit there and call Rachel out about, like, not getting to know them when he is the worst at that, like, the worst.
Yeah.
He's a giant hypocrite, which is a major character trait of Will Schuster.
Like, I didn't know what...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Surprise.
That he keeps saying this to Rachel and nothing's happened yet. Like, you know, is the plot point going to be like, oh, Rachel's not cut out for this because she's too self-centered, so I'm going to be there and I'm going to be there for all the kids. It's like, you know who's better at that? Emma. Emma's good at treating all new kids and their problems with, you know, validity and care. Will is just, like, hanging on to, like, baby Rachel Berry and Finn, probably, and not really ever letting go of that, which...
Emma should come coach the Glee Club and Will can be a stay-at-home dad.
Yeah.
Well, Will only lets Emma out of his basement for one episode.
Why? Jack, why did you have to go there?
They'll bring stand-in Emma to coach the Glee Club.
Anyway.
Her back is just turned the whole time. Oh, my God. Okay. All right, moving on. Back in the choir room, the 40-year-old ponytail is there playing the ukulele, and for whatever reason, I don't know why he's there.
He likes to turn out on his uke. That's what he says. Look, I put the ship of the week on Hyperbole coming out tomorrow, so just deal with it, okay? And you'll get mad that I didn't put Mason and Jane, but I had a reason for putting this, so anyway.
You should have put Mason and Madison.
Anyway,
Well, he and Spencer are flirting, and then Spencer asks Alistair if he would like to join the Glee Club, which I thought was pretty surprising. I didn't see this coming. And then they kiss. And I know, Natalie, you like how the kiss was handled and how there was just no bullshitting. There was no drawn-out Kurt Hummel-type high school thing. And it was just sudden, so yeah.
I did. I felt this was a very full-circle moment for Glee. Like, I'm like, whatever, 40-year-old ponytail. I wouldn't have picked him. But, you know, I felt that this... scene as a whole I can get behind because, or this romance as a whole I can get behind because it's like, it's weird because it's almost like this scene being on television is like a product of Glee existing, if you know what I mean. Like, you know, maybe not specifically, but it was so normalized. There was nothing about this the plot between Spencer and Alistair that couldn't have happened in a normal episode of a normal show between a boy and a girl, if you know what I mean. Like, it's a normal teen I like this person, I want to get them, or my friend says, you know, my friend says they don't like me, or my friend stands up for me, now they're giving me a chance, oh, I like you, we're going to kiss, if you know what I mean. There was no, like, this wasn't a gay plot line, if that makes sense. It was just a plot line. And I feel like Glee, you know, Glee's presence in the pop culture sphere has made room for that kind of thing, but it's the first time that we're seeing that kind of naturalistic thing happen on Glee, because Glee's own queer plot lines have always been so full of, like, drama and, like, heartbreak and, like, you know, bullying and longing and all sorts of things. So I really, really liked how it was done, and, like, as a scene on television in 2015. And it's weird that Glee is kind of responsible for that, but yet hasn't had more of that within its own canon, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And I'd agree with all that.
Caitlin, did you like it, not like it?
I liked it for all the reasons you said.
I felt like it was really important. Like, as I said, even though I wouldn't have picked 40-year-old ponytail, but sorry, you're actually okay, whoever you are. I didn't hate you that much. I was just a bit like... I don't hate him.
I just think he's a bit
okay,
off.
Okay, that's fine. I think it's cute. And I didn't expect him to join the Glee Club either. I was just like, oh, okay.
Me neither.
This is all right. Okay.
Well, I remember seeing in the big group photo of the New Directions that got released in the final episode, he was in there, but I thought it was just like a random like crew member or just, you know, a producer. I didn't really look too hard, but now I know, oh, okay, that's the guy. This is the guy who's in there.
Yeah, I think that's kind of nice. I mean, that's really cute if they're going to be able to just be cute together, and it's just so much less annoying than Kurt and Blaine. So, so I'm really into it, and I just think that, like, this is the kind of, you know, not that every relationship doesn't have its drama and pain, but this is the kind of relationship that I want to see on TV between two boys. I think it's awesome, and I really liked it. So, yeah.
Spencer was just so gay after. It was so cute.
Yeah, like, Alistair could look like, I don't know, Barack Obama, or he could look like Mr. Ed or something. I would not care what Alistair looked like. The way that he'd make Spencer act, I just can't. I love him. I think he's so sweet. I know that Mitch had some thoughts about, like, not really, like, forgiving or not really approving of, like, the Spencer and Roderick interaction, which is something that, like, I would want to know about from you guys, because obviously this is a result of, like, Roderick, you know, standing up for Spencer and saying, hey, Alistair, you know, give him a chance. He's always got my back. We're good friends now and stuff. So, I don't know, like, the Spencer and Roderick, you know, tough love, you know, criticism, like, that, all of that stuff about, like, you know, the body image stuff, and also Roderick not being a team player. My first thing, which I was saying to Mitch and Caitlin earlier, Jack, is that, how do we know that Roderick isn't a team player? Like, is this the thing that's, like, been going on behind the scenes that we haven't seen? Like, have you ever got that impression from him before? This isn't like a Mercedes lazy park and bark situation, like, where they made this thing of her being, like, just not really trying very hard. I know Mitch sent in some thoughts about, like, the Spencer and Roderick relationship, like, friendship, and not really approving of it, because obviously the kiss and the, you know, Alistair, you know, end up giving Spencer a chance because Roderick told him to, but all of that dynamic between Spencer and Roderick of, like, you know, both the body image stuff and Roderick allegedly not being a team player, like, is that something you've noticed happening before? Like, you know, this isn't like a Mercedes, like, park and bark, I'm too lazy to practice stuff. Like, we have no information that Spencer, I mean, that Roderick isn't a team player or anything like that. So I don't really know how I felt about that.
I feel like that is Spencer's perception of Roderick, like, the way he sees, like, Roderick's behavior, because, I don't know, somebody looking at Roderick just walking down the hall with his headphones in because that's how he copes with the world around him, that could come across as obnoxious and sort of cutting people out, whereas that's just how Roderick deals with things. It's not necessarily that. So I think this is really interesting to see Spencer's take on the way he views Roderick's mentality. Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. It kind of comes up, it can come across as standoffish to other people.
Yeah. And then obviously Spencer is, you know, athletic and quite concerned with fitness, but he's pretty harsh about Roderick's sort of lack of fitness and his weight. Do you think that any of that was sort of, I guess, unforgivable, or like, do you think that them making up at the end was a good thing that like Spencer was out of
I don't
line?
necessarily think it was unforgivable because Spencer really was just looking out for Roderick. However, we've never had a scene where Roderick has been really concerned about his weight before. Like, sure, he sings all about that bass, but you know what I mean? Like, it's not like it's been a huge weight issue with Roderick for him in the past. So that's why this was a little bit confusing as to why Spencer was so bent on trying to get him fit.
Well, I was under the impression, again, from the synopsis, that they were like getting kicked out if they
Well,
didn't
Sue
pass the
said,
presidential fitness test.
that you wouldn't
Like,
graduate if you didn't pass the test. So it was seeming to come
and
out of
he's a
that.
senior, so yeah. I don't know, Caitlin, what did you think of them together, like Spencer and Roderick, and the way they sort of treated each other in this?
I mean, at first it was really off-putting, but the way I read like the rope scene that when Roderick climbs it is more just Spencer being like, I believe in you, and really nothing to do
Yeah,
with it.
like.
So him showing that support and being like, I got your back, you can do this, and that kind of was what helped him to do it. So it's more him, I guess, kind of backing off the whole like, you're just a lazy bum, and just being
You're
like,
not trying,
he's like, I
yeah.
believe in you, and then that's good. So I think he recognized he was being kind of an ass and
Yeah.
kind of shifted gears to be like, actually, I'm here for you. And so I was okay with that.
Yeah, because that was the quote that I put in for a hyperbole for quote of the week. That was just because I thought the phrasing of it was funny. But there was like, look, I know that I'm a dick, but I acknowledge that I was being a wrong the wrong kind of dick before, and now I'm being the right kind of dick, or you know, whatever it was. Like, I really loved that. Like the just the quote, I just found funny. But yeah, I really liked, like, not like, you know, I'm not like ignoring that it was kind of like a bit harsh of him and stuff like that. But yeah, Mitch seemed really annoyed by it, and I didn't quite feel that way. But did he write something in for
Yeah,
that,
I've got his scores on
Jack?
the other side here, so I'll read that at the end.
Okay,
Yep, cool.
cool.
All right.
All right. Well, yeah, I am pro Spencer at the moment. I know some people are not super sold on him, but I really, really like him, so.
So moving on, in the last performance of the Bar Mitzvah, the new direction with Sue, Beast, and Will and Rachel and Sam, sing "Break Free" by Ariana Grande, and it was all right. I mean, this song sort of annoys me. Just, I mean, the verse. I want to like the song because the verses catch me, it gets me pumped up, but the chorus just makes me personally annoyed. Like, the chorus just like the chanting and the shouting, and it just it really annoys me. So yeah.
I must have heard it before, but I don't know where. Like, I'm sure I've heard it before, but I didn't really, like, I have no
Yeah, it's
feelings
just
about this
whatever
song,
pop song
so.
sort of thing. Yeah,
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So back at school, oh, we've already spoken about this really, how Roderick and have the cute little become friends moment sort of thing, and it's all nice. Now in the next scene, the superintendent has found a way to snuck Myron into McKinley High because technically he's only 13 and isn't old enough to attend the school, but because he's in the school board and apparently Myron is hella talented, he is now a member of New Directions. So,
So they make him like skip to ninth grade instead of seventh grade
but
or
yeah, I mean, I have a
whatever.
hard time sort of with schooling in America because for us, well, for me, it's like 7 to 12 is high school. Yeah.
Yeah, they keep it in the same school. So if it was an Australian school, and you know, anyone from year 7 to year 12 would be able to join, whereas it's split. I assume he's about seventh grade
Eighth,
and
he'd
he'd
be
be
eighth,
advancing to.
seventh or eighth. You would
Really?
be in, you're 14 and 15. Like, I was 14 and 15 my freshman year of high school.
Okay, so he'd
So he's
be,
like a year
yeah, like if
younger.
he's, yeah. Yeah, maybe two. I can't, boys do their bar mitzvah at like 12 or something, but so yeah, like he's young and he looks like a child
Yes.
compared to the others. Let's, so yeah, we're assuming that he's skipping a couple of grades and joining the ninth grade in order to be a member of New Directions. And what I kind of like is that Will and Rachel are like, oh, this is awesome. He's actually really talented. He's backed by the superintendent. And they're like, how does this feel, Sue? Like, in your plot to bring down the Glee Club, how does this make you feel? But And he has the, you know, if he's in it, then the school board will have the approval of the Glee Club existing. And so I liked them jibing Sue about that, but I was surprised that they wanted to, like, deal with that kid on a permanent basis.
Rachel was so funny. Don't touch the piano!
Oh, my God.
All right, so this leads
her
into...
supervising a child is going to be interesting, like a proper child.
Well, I mean, she's friends with Kurt. Yeah. Isn't it the same thing?
Oh, my God.
I'm ching.
Oh, my God. I loved Kitty and Myron, though. Like, Kitty just... She didn't have much of a plot, but every scene that she had was, like, amazing. Oh, and her so and Myron in the at the end, like, hopefully she'll keep him from being too much of a little, you know...
I guess if anyone can do it, it's Kitty.
Keep it coming.
Yeah.
What I want is Kurt's reaction to finding out Myron is in the
Glee Club. My God, Kurt's gonna hate him so much. Or he's gonna so super sympathize with him, which will make me hate Kurt more. So no, either one of those, that'll be good.
Yeah. So because Myron being a part of the Glee Club means that it's gonna help it be permanently reinstated back at McKinley, Sue gets hella angry about this. She's so mad because she's pretty much just back at the start of where she was in season one, you know, trying to get rid of the Glee Club, and she's tried to get rid of it so many times and it's never gone away. And now she's more hell than ever trying to get rid of the Glee Club. And we see a sort of funny scene when she's back in that hurt locker of hers, like pinning up the
all of new kids. Yeah.
So, yeah. So I think this is sort of the setup of the... I don't really know what's going to happen next episode, but we're going to get a lot of Sue next episode. And yeah, I mean, it's called The Rise and Fall of Sue Sylvester. So maybe they finally take her down. I don't know if she's in, if she's going to be in the episodes after that. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. That's weird. Also, if the, these two, are, I mean, does anyone have any opinions on, like, there's two new boys and we assume that because Dalton burns down that the rest of the new members to get them up to 12 are going to be, like, Dalton kids that combine with them. Again, all boys. So is there just going to be three girls and, like, 25 boys in the Glee Club?
Why
that seems unlegit.
Are all the boys going to come over? I don't know.
I don't know, but even if it's, like, 3 out of 12 are girls compared to... Like, that seems like a lot of boys. And, like, you'd think that girls would be the ones who had, like, less stigma about joining the Glee Club. Like, you know... And so, I don't know what that's meant to say about it, but okay. Anyway.
So hashtag Glee Hits Girls.
Oh, God.
I was going to.
What? Is that a thing that's going on?
Well, do you remember? No, that was, like, in season 4 time, and then, like, Tina addresses it. Like, yeah. I don't know.
Jesus.
All right, so now because Alistair is in the club with Myron, they now have 8 members, and all of them form the song Cool Kids. And I don't like this song, but I even though I don't like the song, I liked how the choppy and unchoreographed and unprofessionalized, like, season one New Directions.
See, I don't love this song either, but I had no idea they were doing it until it came on. I was just like,
it's so annoying. Like,
I was just like, oh, is this actually a song they're doing? It's like, you know, whatever. I was just, every time I hear it, I'm kind of like, But this I liked better
catchy,
than...
The lyrics are stupid. And,
I liked this better than the original, mainly because of, like, Kitty and just everyone being cute and, like, Spencer
Kitty
things.
Myra,
so
Myra tried
cute.
To,
Well, Kitty was, like, in the center of the circle, like, smiling at everybody while she was dancing. Oh, it was so adorable.
God, I want that girl to have a good career. Like, I want Becca Tobin to have the best career because she's so... fun and good, and I just love her.
I think she will. I mean, it's more like how sort of Diana Agron has sort of branched off and done her own thing. I think Kitty was... Oh, sorry, Becca would be a bit like that.
I just love her. She's so good.
Yeah. All right, so Mitch has written in with his thoughts on the episode. Okay, this is what he says. He says, Spencer is hot, like season 3 Sam hot, but I don't like that I think that he's hot because he was a douche Roderick about the former's weight. I wanted the twincest to go full Lannister.
Oh my
god. I was disappointed
god.
That they didn't go there. Not because I'm, like, into twins doing it or whatever, but because you either go all the way or you don't. Commit Glee. Also, Cool Kids wins the award for not only most random song in the course of episode ending songs, but also the most boring and awkwardly choreographed one.
Aww, I don't know about that. I liked the way that they did it. Like, it's not, as I said, it's like great, not that great a song. I don't think they've ever won green for an ending before. I felt really taken aback by the green. I was just like, whoa, green. Like, and I'm like, I'm not used to seeing green on that stage. So I don't know why they did green, but yeah. Anyway, I was just very... Was anyone else surprised by the green, like, out there in the listener world? Because it really shocked me for some weird reason. Blue, black, white, red, I don't know, like, Lots of.
Oh, I just love seeing the simplified costumes again. How
Yeah,
it used to
they're like,
be,
we're
you
all gonna
know.
wear a green t-shirt and jeans and do this song. Yeah.
But even though I don't like the song, I always love when the episodes end on a song, on a big group number,
Oh.
and I realize I've missed that.
Yeah. You could hear a little bit
Yeah.
of the New Kids singing in the song as well. Like, you could hear a few lines that, like, they turned up Myron a lot, and he's like, whatever. I don't know what this Glee Club's gonna sound like with a child's voice in the mix. But they turned up Alistair's at one bit a bit. And he's good. Like, they clearly gave him a singing audition as well. Like, if he's gonna be in the New Directions, like, you know, when he tried out for the show. Because, yeah, he's pretty decent, even if he does want to sit on the piano and jam on his uke. So, yeah. Ugh.
Okay, so we've got some listener feedback. Well, this is in response to, well, this is from the Facebook page and in response to last week's episode, The Wedding. So Michael Vartanian says, Michael, when you write in next, can you please say if I'm pronouncing your last name right, please? Okay.
Vartanian, yeah.
Yeah, Michael Vartanian. Okay, so he says, this episode marked the first time this season where I truly started to feel like I can start saying goodbye to Glee. So this isn't a positive comment. Clan's wedding was so rushed and nonsensical. I'm fine with that, with the outrageous nonsense on Glee, but they have to go all the way. Sorry, but they have to go all the way to make it work. And then he says a bit more along those lines. It's a pretty long post, but I thought I'd read the end part as well because he says, however, if I had my way, Kurt and Adam Lambert would be together while Blaine and Sebastian would walk off into the sunset.
Yo.
What was that?
It's my
Was that it? Was
ship.
that a, an approving yo, or was that a moan of no?
Blaine and Sebastian is my ship.
I actually can't think of a legitimate ship that I'd be happy with either of those characters in now. Like, I can see Sebastian getting there, but I literally can't and Adam Lambert's too good for Kurt. Like, let's not lie. I can't see a
Yeah.
legitimate ship for either of them that I feel like would be healthy. And I think they've done that on purpose. I think they have like painted them into a corner where like Clayne is the only freaking possible option. Literally none of them have ever met like any like again, a difference between like Spencer and Alistair. I don't think Alistair is the first gay guy that Spencer's ever met, if you know what I mean. Like, it's like they've never given, you know, it's not like that Blaine and Kurt have a large, you know, circle of queer friends, or like, you know, we don't see them with anyone else that's even vaguely compatible, or like if we, the fandom thinks someone's compatible, they like, you know, do something to make it really bad, you know, and I don't know. They've painted it into a corner rather than. It's so stupid. But anyway, yeah. Ugh.
Yeah. All right. So, Caitlin, do you want to take well, hey, Caitlin, I'll read this comment and then I'll get your response after, okay?
Okay.
Yep. Cool. Okay. So, Hayley Van Howick, and also, if I'm pronouncing your name, I'm wrong. I'm sorry. This is on the Facebook page as well. Okay. So, about the people who think Kurt is the victim in the Clan relationship, at the start of season three, Blaine and Kurt go to that bar, and Blaine gets drunk and tries to have sex with Kurt, and Kurt keeps saying no, and I think he has to force Blaine off of him. I'm not sure how far they go, but I think it was sexual assault. I haven't rewatched season three, so I can't confirm this. So that was in reference to the claim discussion we had last week, and she's talking about in season three when Kurt and Blaine and Sebastian go to Scandals, and Blaine is very drunk
And
and
he's
wants to
like,
sort of
let's make out in
have
the
sex with
car
Kurt in the
and
car.
yeah.
So yeah. So Caitlin, you replied to Hayley on the Facebook post. So do you want to sort of say what your response to that was?
Sure, I pulled up my response so I can read it. This, and I started saying the scene is brought up really often in this debate, and it drives me nuts. So I'm not saying Haley, you are driving me nuts, just the
By the
argument,
claim
but saying
and
Blaine is abusive because of
yeah.
this scene. They're saying, remember the car scene 3 seasons ago? Blaine's a horrible, abusive person. I hate that. This is why. So Kurt is sober in this scene, and Blaine is drunk. With that dynamic in mind, Kurt holds all the power in this situation. He has all his faculties, while Blaine is the one who's impaired. So when Kurt says no, Blaine actually backs off. Was it his best moment? Of course not. He was drunk and he was handsy, and he's a teenager feeling affectionate towards someone he loves, but he backs off when he's told no. So it's not sexual assault, which at its core is about exerting control over another
Yeah.
person.
Yep, I agree so
Yeah,
much with
that
that.
scene wasn't great. But it was not what people make it out to be, and it's really
Yeah.
like, do you really think? I would really love to think that Glee, if Glee had intended that scene to be what these Kurt people are saying that it is, that that would just be a no-go relationship with Kurt and Blaine, if you know what I mean. Like, that they would be like, that would be like, you know, Beast, like, you know, Shannon, like, leaving her husband after he hit her, you know? Like, it would be like, oh, Blaine tried to rape Kurt. This is a, you know, Blaine's going to be a villain who gets taken away from the show. That's not what the show did, so I'm pretty sure we're not meant to read that scene like that, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah, like, back to the Beast thing when I suppose, I don't know, I'm going to ask a question. And if when we're talking about Beast, when Beast was a female, do we still use pronouns of he?
It really depends on the person. Some people, okay. Some people do prefer that they, like, be gendered through their past as well. But in context of talking about, like, a fictional character, when we're talking about the past, I don't know. Like, in this circumstance, I needed to differentiate that it was when, you know, Beast was married that guy. So, yeah.
Yeah, when Beast was with Cooter, if they went through all that the violent domestic violence and stuff, and then they stayed together, and the show tried to tell us that this was a perfect pairing, then I would understand the debate, in that sort of context. But that's not what this couldn't like.
Yeah,
that, you know?
I don't think that was in any way, that scene was in any way a viable argument for Blaine being abusive, like, at all. Like, it was like he was, as Caitlin said, not really in control of all his faculties. And that doesn't mean that, oh, everyone is a rapist when they get drunk. It means that he was kind of not realizing that Kurt wasn't on the same page as him. And then as soon as he did, which took a little bit longer because he was drunk, but as soon as Kurt, he realized Kurt wasn't on the same page as him, he was like, oh, shit, if you know what I mean. Like,
yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know how hard that is to understand. Like, it's not, I'm trying to force you. It's, I'm not realizing that you're not in this with me because I'm drunk. And now I've realized, and oh shit, this is terrible. So, yeah.
All right, so we've got a little bit of news as well that's happened this week. I'll start off with the sort of more sadder. I guess it is news. So so Leah Michelle and Mark Salling have both tweeted about some mementos they've taken from the set of Glee because it wrapped filming last week. Now, Mark Salling has taken the Finn plaque that hangs up in the auditorium, and Leah Michelle has taken Finn's jersey that's in the frame that hangs up in the locker room. So, yeah, very sad, but I love that.
I cry literally every time I see that picture of Leah because she just looks so, like, small and alone. And I know that she's, like, quite happy and stable and, like, she's, like, with someone else and stuff. But, like, she just looks really alone and small and just the post that she did about it, like, carrying that thing. And I just can't. Every time I look at it, I just can't. And
yeah,
it interested me that they took those items, like, because, like, you... They were totally allowed to, but you'd kind of almost imagine it being the other way around, that, like, that, well, it was more like that Rachel's plot was responsible for the plaque and Mark's, you know, Puck's plot was responsible for the jersey, whereas what meant more to them as, like, people rather than characters was, like, the other way around, and I kind of liked that, but, yeah, there was just a lot of pictures from from both the final day of filming and the wrap party that were really, some were really funny, some were really emotional. Like, Kevin McHale posted one of, like, him and a couple of the other guys got up into, like, the rafters of the auditorium. Like, not of the auditorium, of the soundstage. So, like, if anyone else ever climbs up into the rafters of whatever soundstage the auditorium was in, you'll find, like, Kevin McHale's tagged, like, a beam up there, like, saying, you know, Kevin McHale was here, Glee, wrapped 2000 and whatever. And it was like, oh, it must have been so much. Like, just that whole day must have been so much. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and our last bit of news as well. Happy news. So, Naya Rivera is pregnant.
Yeah.
With her husband, Ryan.
I feel a little bit bad for them, actually, because I saw, I think, Naya retweeting some stuff of Ryan. I don't follow him because I don't even know who he is. But, yeah, they released a statement on, like, her website or Tumblr or whatever, and they did it because they got wind of the fact that someone had leaked the news to, like, OK Magazine or something, and so they were basically, if they wanted to announce it on their own terms, they were forced to announce it a lot earlier than they'd planned to in the pregnancy, so she must not be very far along, but they chose to announce it themselves before the magazine got the chance, so that's nice, I suppose.
Yeah. Hey, good for them. And Aya is doing a lot of stuff basically now. She's been cast on a TV show, Devious
Maids.
Yeah,
what is that show? Yeah.
I've never seen it.
It's a Lifetime show.
Well, hopefully it's good. I don't know. Fun.
Yeah, okay. Good for her.
But yeah, that's nice. And, you know, so I don't know who else will be having babies, but soon or in the future. But yeah, like, because, yeah, Heather's got one and now Naya's got one. And who else? I don't know. More babies, maybe.
I don't know who else really in couples in the...
Yeah, I don't feel like too many of them are in couples that are, like, it's time to have a baby kind of couples, if you know what I mean. Like, Heather was always known to be very much like that, like, with her long-term boyfriend, and then obviously Naya got married. I don't think... Harry Shum and his girlfriend might, but they've been really tight for a very, very long time, but obviously it wouldn't super affect Harry because he wouldn't be... having the baby, like, it wouldn't affect whatever career moves he's making, but I don't know. That's nice, I suppose. Yeah, I don't know. And Glee, that's pretty big news in general, not just the mementos, but the Glee Wrapped, like, that they're breaking the sets, like, that it, you know, between this week and last week, that it finished, like, the filming finished.
Well, it literally finished the
while we were recording, like, right, the last episode, like, it was wrapping
the film. Like, I finished the episode and went back and thought, crap, it finished.
Yeah, and then they had the wrap party, and I know that a lot of the people, pretty much everyone who's ever worked on the show that was invited to the wrap party got a piece of the auditorium stage, the lino. They carved it up into these little squares and had it engraved with, like, Glee, you know, Paramount,
cool.
2009 to 15 or whatever. And so, and I saw someone post something really nice, like, someone who was only on, they only did, like, a one episode's worth or something, and they were like, this is insane, like, I've never been given a gift like this, you know, for a wrap party where I only did one episode, like, that's, like, really thoughtful and all of that kind of stuff. So yeah, clearly there was a lot of people there, and they really, you know, stretched out to everyone who's been part of the show. So that's nice. Feelings.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
Really cool. Okay, so that wraps Glee Chat this week, for episode 102. Yes, we'll be back next week with
the rise and fall
of Sylvester.
Jeez.
So we've got some guest stars coming back. We've got Michael Bolton's going to be in it, as well as Carol Burnett.
Oh, God.
So get excited for that.
It's going to be intense.
All right.
But yeah, I don't know. Do you think Sue's going to, do you think her plot is that she's a villain and she's going to fail and go out, and that she's going to crash and burn, and that's going to be her ending?
Well, they're doing, like, an expose of some sort. So I don't know if it's going to be, like, sort of like a documentary on the Sue Sylvester's life and everything she's done wrong. I don't know. Or, like, maybe... I have no idea. Because remember in season two when... was it Katie Couric came in and, like, was telling she's, like, the worst person of the year or whatever? Yeah.
I don't know. So, do you want her to end? Like, do you want her ending to be a, like, you are terrible and everything you've done is terrible? Caitlin's like, so much. Yes, please. Oh my God. But who'll take care of her baby if she's in prison?
Becky.
God.
Somebody confident, please.
Oh, God. Maybe her mother. Maybe she'll get a second chance at, like, being good or something. Like, Sue can go to jail and Sue's mother can raise another baby. I don't know. Anyway...
Okay, all right, so we'll see everyone next week for episode 103.
Bye. Right.
See you guys.
Bye.
Do 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 do